is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, check out VSiN.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, your betting tools, and your betting guides. It's all there. Of course, VSiN.com. We've got our NFL betting guide dropping tomorrow. You have to go to VSiN.com to get it. Okay, we've got the NBA draft coming up in a few hours here, and obviously awesome opportunities to bet. You can go to DraftKings. They got a ton of market. A big menu there. To talk about it, our buddy John Mettler, covers.com NBA analyst. You can find John on Twitter at John Mettler. You've got a bunch, and good to talk to you. You've got a bunch, but let's start here. So the Richichet kid, right now he's minus $5, progressive guest line. I can't find anybody that's breaking down this draft to say anything good about him, but he's minus 500 to go to the Hawks. Like, what is the player? I know he's in France, so I don't expect you to have a ton on it, but do you think that's a little heavy on him to go one?
Yeah, I kind of feel like the Hawks have been playing this where they were trying to make it look like they were very interested in guys that teams below them might trade up for. So even right now, I'm not fully convinced that he even is the guy the Hawks want to take if they're just the team making this pick. They might be taking him for someone else in a trade. But I mean, even you go back, 2 years ago, Jabari Smith Jr. was like minus 10,000 5 minutes before the draft, and it completely flipped with Banchero. So I feel like the Hawks are just trying to leverage, trying to maximize the value of this pick to create a trade. I'm not sure Richichet is actually like their guy, but we're going to find that out in the next like 5 hours here.
That's a great point about the volatility in the Banchero draft. I had forgot about that, but it's tremendous. Now, second overall at 20-1 is Kentucky's Reed Shepherd, who is an exceptional shooter. Give me your thought process here.
Yeah, same thing. So I'm basically betting this draft with the idea of like, we will just see potentially chaos. I don't think anyone really truly knows. I don't think we even really even know who's making these picks in these certain slots. So my one thought here is, you know, the Hawks, once again, they've been trying to find someone to trade for the first overall pick. If you're the Wizards and it's been floated out there that you're 100% taking Alex Starr if he's on the board, just let that narrative run. Why would you want anyone to know you're potentially taking Reed Shepherd? Because the Hawks are looking to make a trade. So why would you give someone the opportunity to jump in front of you and jump you for Reed Shepherd? I just look at the Wizards. I don't think it's an automatic that they go big. Like, you look at their backcourt, Tyus Jones is a free agent. Their only other guards on the roster are Jordan Poole, Jared Butler, Johnny Davis, and Landry Shamet. There's lots of room. I mean, as the NBA expands into like how important three-point shooting is, I feel like Reed Shepherd could be more in play. You're not going to find any mock drafts that say this. You're not going to really find anything that says this. I just think, you know, 22-1, I'll take a stab at it for sure with Shepherd there going second overall.
I love that play. Third overall, you've got the big from UConn, Donovan Clingan, going third overall at close to 3-1.
Yeah, a lot of my plays were more long shots. This was kind of the one I didn't go too long here. I do think he's kind of in play. It seems like there's so many different angles. Like, so many teams want to come up and trade for him at three. I do think that's kind of what was causing a lot of the confusion with one, is I think ideally the Spurs and Hawks would want to make a trade. Hawks go back to four, get Clingan. But the problem is the Rockets are sitting in front of them, also shopping that pick to other teams for Clingan. So I do think, you know, we kind of saw rumors out there that maybe Marcus Smart gets flipped to the Rockets. He gets reunited with Ime Udoka. And then the Grizzlies get Donovan Clingan. Now you've seen Alperen Şengün. They might offer him up in trades. And then the Rockets just take Clingan themselves. Also seen rumors the Hornets might come up to get Clingan. It just seems like there's so many paths to different people trying to come get Clingan at that third overall. So that's why I went with Clingan there plus 275. I don't think there is an opportunity for a long shot there. Reed Shepherd is the favorite, but if I'm going second, he can't go third. So I went Clingan.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, no, Clingan, top three has to be in play. Fifth overall, this is a player I love. Obviously, he's a little bit older, but you've got 15-1 on Dalton Kennett going fifth overall.
Yeah, to the Pistons. I think there's multiple paths here. One, I don't think the Pistons have, you know, obviously they only won 14 games. They're really bad. They're in a rebuild. I don't think they actually have as much time to bring in someone who has like a higher ceiling and you have to wait for them to develop. They already have a bunch of those guys. At some point, you have to start winning. You're also trying to sign Cade Cunningham here to an extension. You have to create space for him on the floor. You need shooters. I think Dalton Kennett fits that also because he is a little bit older. The other side of that too is, you know, the Pistons have been very vocal that they want to trade back. And if they want to trade back, Dalton Kennett is the favorite to go sixth overall to the Hornets. So once again, you could see someone come up, jump the Hornets, take Dalton Connect. So this might not necessarily even be the Pistons. I just kind of like the bet from, I feel like the Pistons could take him. I feel like he could be in play for the Pistons. And I also feel like it could be a trade, someone coming to get him to jump the Hornets. I think the big thing about the theme tonight will be trades. I think there's gonna be a ton of trades, and I think it's gonna wreak havoc on what we think we're gonna see. So that's kind of how I'm playing into these angles too.
Yeah, I'd be fired up if the Pistons took Connect. I hope you're right, because I'd love to see that. Next up, 6 overall, Devin Carter. Dustin was talking about him a little earlier at 20-1 to go 6 overall.
Yeah, so Devin Carter, again, not one you're really seeing in like mock drafts for the Charlotte Hornets. If they stay at 6, I feel like he's way more in play than this price implies. Like, once again, you look at just how rosters are constructed, and even the teams that have recently won, you have your superstar player on the perimeter, but then you also have another perimeter guy who takes on that responsibility of being like the primary defender, the point of attack defender, someone who can knock down threes. I think Devin Carter is that kind of fit beside LaMelo Ball. I just feel like that fits almost perfectly. It's like LaMelo Ball is your offensive guy, Devin Carter is your defensive guy. You know, we've seen lots of reports he's on the rise. He set some records at the combine. I think the one thing someone pointed out, which I thought was pretty good too, they're talking about his three-point shooting and how it improved a lot, and he was shot 37% this past year at Providence. That was on like 6 threes per game, but they're also pointing out these were on deep threes, and a lot of them were very contested. So like, once you move him into the NBA and he kind of gets to play more of that role player role versus like the leading scorer of a team, that three-point shot might actually be even better than what you're seeing kind of in college there. So the opportunity to be like a 3-and-D guy, I feel like he would be a big culture changer for the Hornets. My only problem with this bet is we're expecting the Hornets to make a good pick on someone that could bring value to their team. I don't know if they will, but I just feel like he would bring something to the Hornets that they've lacked for a long time.
Well, let me ask you about this, because, and again, let me just go through these. JohnMetlerCovers.com. 2nd overall, Reed Shepard, get a good price. 3rd overall, Donovan Klingon, a little shorter. 5th overall, Dalton Connect. Oh, please. 6 overall, Devin Carter, 20-1 to go 6 overall for Devin Carter. What was your reaction to the trade earlier today? Mikal Bridges joining the Knicks and his teammates from Villanova. Obviously, the Knicks gave the Nets a ton of picks, but what was just your take on it?
My initial thought was OG Anunoby's not coming back, but that looks like it's going to be Isaiah Hartenstein who gets the boot there from like the salary cap standpoint. I think you're seeing the Celtics kind of gave the playbook. It's, you know, 5 guys on the perimeter. Everyone can shoot threes. Everyone can play. You have a couple guys who are really good perimeter defenders. And now you've seen the Thunder kind of match that by getting Alex Caruso. Same thing. You have 4 guys, 5 guys, Chet Holmgren too. You can play the perimeter and like shoot threes, play defense. Now you've seen the Knicks match it as well. It's the same idea, right? You get Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, kind of the ball just keeps flowing and everyone can shoot. Everyone can play the perimeter. I feel like that Celtics championship is kind of creating a scenario where it's going to change how teams build their roster. I was kind of looking at this draft. Like, I've jumped, you know, I have Dalton Connect going higher, Devin Carter going higher. I don't think if you can't shoot the three, I don't see how you come into this draft and get drafted higher than you normally would. Like, we just watched the NBA finals and the Mavericks got killed from the 3-point line. And then you're going to come in this draft and draft people who can't shoot. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Are you hearing anything trade wise? You mentioned me and Dustin talking about that could be a crazy night, just trades in general. Like, you heard Kevin Durant's name being bantied about. Are you hearing any other rumors regarding trades?
Yeah, the one guy I was looking at, it was on DraftKings too, was Brandon Ingram. They have player next team market up. I think he's someone, he goes tonight. I think he probably gets traded tonight in the draft. So I was actually just sifting through it before I came on here. I didn't really land on a team yet that I want to bet on. I was looking through salary caps and how they might match and stuff like that. But I think he's the one guy probably in the next couple of hours I'll probably place a bet on, because I think that does get resolved tonight. I think he'll be on the move.
Let me ask you, you and I are both Pistons fans. Would you want Ingram on the Pistons?
I think the Pistons should go for anyone with any form of basketball talent at this point. I mean, Trajan Langdon did come from the Pelicans, so he would have a pretty good idea of if he wants Ingram or not. I think the Pistons were kind of one of the shorter shots on the board there. I think they're like plus, I want to say 900. I'm going off memory here. I think the one team, another team that kind of is interesting, I guess, would be the Sacramento Kings, just because De'Aaron Fox has kind of stated, I'm not signing an extension until I see what the direction is here. So they might get aggressive with a move. I also feel like Klay Thompson might be in play for them too. That feels like kind of a move they can make as well, with Mike Brown, the coach there too, as well. So that also put a little spice to that rivalry.
Well, it's a celebration for Pistons fans because Monty Williams is no longer the coach and there's a new direction. And I'd be fascinated. What would New Orleans say? Five overall for Brandon Ingram. I'm sure Moore would have to be in the play. All right. John Mettler, enjoy the draft. Thank you for the plays. You can find the plays over at VSiN.com/picks, and you can check out John over at covers.com and at John Mettler on Twitter. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Good luck tonight.
All right. Good luck with your bets, everyone.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Big guy, would you, if you're the Pistons, would you trade five overall for Brandon Ingram?
Oh, in a heartbeat. Brandon Ingram and Dalton Knecht are basically the same age.
It's true. It's true. All right. Palm is next, Mr. Mike Palm.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro, get a month for free, $1.99, vsin.com/subscribe. Use the promo code SHARP to unlock the deal. Okay, it's time for Palm versus the big guy. Some controversy during the break, but we got the record straight here. 10-4-1 to Mike Palm. Dustin, you won the coin toss backstage. I'll try to keep the clock tight for you today because I know that was a concern. And we're going to start here. Better experience as a fan, Super Bowl Sunday, all-encompassing, everything involved, or Game 7 of an NHL final, Dustin?
The Super Bowl is the single most overrated sports event of the year. Going to a regular season is a hassle. Going to a Super Bowl with the extra security and the longer lines and all the focus and the buildup and all the events outside the arena, I can't imagine the hassle that it is. It sounds awful to be at the game, long commercials, long halftime, lots of people don't care. The NHL Game 7 buildup is unique because it doesn't always happen. It's exciting. And the intensity of playoff hockey, where the Super Bowl can be a dud as a game, it's like a 2.5-hour Kegel workout.
I agree with Dustin here. The moments of sheer intensity throughout that 2.5 hours of an NHL Game 7, it's always going to be there, Patrick. Super Bowls can be lopsided and oftentimes are. Dustin's completely right about the headache that it is to get in and out and having to deal with all the extra security at a Super Bowl. It's TSA gone crazy. But the palpability and the fact of the building drama of an NHL Game 7 leaves you almost emotionally exhausted.
Time. Mike Palm, the Florida Panthers are the most odd franchise in the four majors when you combine location, sport, fan base, everything. What's the number two as far as franchise across the four majors?
Boy, I had to look at this hard. I think you have to stay in the state of Florida and go with the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, this is just a team without really a fan base. They rank in the bottom three in attendance every year, and it's not because they have a bad product. The low payroll, Kevin Cash, but has them in the playoffs perennially, but it's an awful, awful stadium. It's almost like the Chargers in that the visiting fans outnumber the Rays fans. They don't draw on the road as well. It's just a misplaced team and a misplaced stadium without a real fan base.
Yeah, I thought about them. Mm. I am going to stick with baseball, though. Mm. Because there's a team in a market that doesn't deserve two teams. And really, this one team is in the market, but they're not really. They're pretending to be. Just like the noses and chests of the women in this city, the Angels of Los Angeles are the most weird team we have. First of all, they're in a suburb. Why is there a team in the suburb? Secondly, they're literally off a highway in a dilapidated stadium that is falling apart with no history or mystique to it. They want you to think they matter because they claim they're in L.A. even though they are in Anaheim. If they folded tomorrow, the world of baseball would not miss them. Outside of 2002 and mentioning that Mike Trout no one watches, we don't think about the Angels.
Dustin, what's your biggest fear?
All right. My biggest fear is weird. I watched a video in health class in seventh grade where a woman choked on a piece of steak. And ever since then, I've been terrified of choking. The daughter in Field of Dreams, which chokes on the hot dog and passes out. I can't even watch the scene. It freaks me out. In fact, 3 weeks ago, I was at a pho place. This is really horrible to admit. I ordered fatty brisket with my soup, and I had to stand up and thought I was literally choking in the middle of the restaurant. Everyone looked at me as I gagged and spit out my food. I once choked on a strawberry candy in class, and a girl in the class told me to,
My biggest fear, Patrick, is being eaten alive by rats. I can't stand rats. They scare me. I don't want to be gnawed at with their diseased fangs. I mean, rats almost took out the entire continent of Europe. I shudder anytime I even see a small mouse. Hate rats.
Mike Palm, keep one and only one sports month and toss the rest. What month are you keeping?
I'm keeping October. I'm keeping October because you get playoff baseball. You have the start of the NHL and the NBA, and you're in full swing in the NFL season. You've got an idea of what the teams are going to be like, and you start playing meaningful conference games in college football. It's the best of all the sports. And, yes, you have major soccer leagues in action as well. October. Tough choice. Good question. I'm saying October.
Okay. It is October. The potential of the sports equinox is just the ultimate. We just experienced where we had all these professional and collegiate sports going at once. The World Series, NFL's in full swing where we really know who these teams are. College football conference play begins where it gets a little bit more intense. The NHL and NBA begin. From a betting perspective, it's a degenerate's paradise where there's nonstop action to bet on. But from an attending sports perspective, the crisp in the fall air puts it over the top.
Dustin, question for you. You just had a great meal. The perfect dessert is what?
It's ice cream. It's the only answer. Because if I had a perfect meal, it means I'm so full I can barely stand up. It means I'm so full that I'm undoing my pants at the table. And ice cream is the perfect dessert in that regard because it melts and fills in the cracks inside your belly. That's the key here. You can't stack on cake or pie or something that's hard like that. Ice cream will melt to become liquid, and it fills in those cracks, and it cools off a hot meal. And if you're lactose intolerant like me.
I think, Patrick, it's pumpkin cheesecake. And it's a rare delicacy because you only get it at a certain time of the year. But oh, how I wish you could enjoy it for 12 months. I did have the opportunity at one point in my life to have almost the perfect meal every night. I was dating a lady that was a very good cook. I had a nice tenderloin, I had creamed corn, I had a beautiful baked potato, a salad with French dressing, and yes, some pumpkin cheesecake.
If you're the Knicks, Mike Palm, are you keeping Thibodeau or bringing in Jay Wright?
I think it's tough to make that transition from college to the pros, and you have a known commodity here in Tom Thibodeau. You can take all Jay Wright stats at Villanova, but I don't know they translate. Tom Thibodeau's a two-time coach of the year in 2011, 2021. When he was with the Bulls, his teams led the league in close game winning percentage at 63%. And you're paying Tom Thibodeau $7 million a year. What's it going to take Jay Wright to get out of that comfy booth? $10 million a year, $12 million a year? I'll stick with Thibodeau.
The New York Knicks have given the keys to the organization to Jalen Brunson. In doing so, he has brought in all of his friends, first Hart, then DiVincenzo, now Bridges. So the assumption is his college coach should be next, and I don't think that's the right move. Jay Wright's a Hall of Famer, but we have no belief that he can do it at the NBA level. Tom Thibodeau, for the first time in his career, actually has players that fit what he wants to do. They're hard-nosed, they're gritty, they're intense. They play all the way out. And if we're being fair, none of these guys were these players in their other stops in their career until they met Tom Thibodeau. You let Tom Thibodeau run this team.
Time. Dustin, we talk about the NBA and Major League Baseball. What U.S. city most deserves an NFL franchise?
So I think it's really important if you're going to move or open up a team in a new city that they have to have support right away. And football needs to matter. So you can't just go somewhere and convince them to care more about football, which is why Oklahoma City should get an NFL team. Oklahoma City's proven as a sports town. They support the Sooners through and through. Football couldn't be bigger there. But secondly, they've proven with the Thunder, if you give them an opportunity to showcase that they can support a pro franchise, they will do it to the full degree.
I thought this was an obvious answer in St. Louis, Missouri, Patrick. The way they supported the Rams when they were there, they already have a facility built for football. And let's just look at the UFL. With an average product, the St. Louis Battlehawks drew 35,000 people per game. The league average in Stormy's UFL, just 12,000. Three times the average attendance. These people are dying since they get lost the Rams to L.A. to have a team back, and they deserve it.
Okay, I got to get one more in. Quick.
Down to two.
We gas station must-haves on a road trip, Mike Palm.
They must have a big coffee menu, first of all, because you're driving long distances and you need caffeine to stay awake. But most importantly are clean restrooms, Patrick. These rest areas anymore are felony areas. I wouldn't take my family into these rest stops. Half of them in California are closed. Next one in 1,700 miles. It's a joke. Gas stations must provide clean, safe restrooms.
I can help you avoid that by operating with my three-course meal of my sophisticated palate. Unlike women I date, I have an oral fixation. Therefore, I have to be chewing on something at all times to satisfy my ADHD. So I go with sunflower seeds, part one. Part two is you need something to hydrate you. Nothing does that better than Gatorade with the electrolytes. We then followed up with dessert, which is the Snickers ice cream bar that is somehow better than the actual Snickers candy bar. You avoid the bathroom because you have a Gatorade bottle. You're welcome.
Okay. Dustin wins 3-3. Fezzik is chiming in. Palm loses automatically for the pumpkin answer, which was terrible. Dustin wins question one. I agree. Palm copied him, he said. Palm slam dunk wins question number two. I had that as a push. Palm wins question three with the Black Plague, the rats, okay? Dustin wins question four with the keyword Equinox. Question five, two terrible answers. Pumpkin, anything is horrendous. Dustin wins. I had Dustin with the gas station answer winning 2-1. The rest were pushes for me. I had Dustin winning the Super Bowl answer, and I had Palm winning the pumpkin cheesecake answer because I just thought his answer was better. Fellas, Dustin, you're back on the board.
The way I worked the refs in this one, Coach K would be proud.
You were
Mike, are you okay with it?
I'm fine. I'm Patrick. You're not going to see me throwing off my headset and stomping off the stage.
Oh, shots fired. Have a great vacation
you too,
with the
guys.
Family, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Mike. Mike Palm.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, check out VSiN.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by your state, the betting tools, and the betting guides. It's all there. Remember, VSiN.com, where tomorrow you're going to find the all-new NFL betting guide brought to you by everybody here at VSiN. So that's coming up tomorrow. But tonight, we've got the NBA draft. Excited to talk to Derek Murray about it. The scouting service. He's a basketball scout at the Scouting Service, which is a company used by NBA and NCAA teams to evaluate talent. Derek, previously at SI, Basketball News and Sports Info Solutions, been a scout since 17, of course, and we say hi to Derek. Derek, welcome to the program. Thank you for the time. A busy day, I know. Progressive guest line brings you Derek. Klingon right now is 5-1 to go one overall. You're hearing buzz that teams want to jump up for the UConn big, correct?
Absolutely. You know, I'm not confident enough to say that I think he'll go one as of today. That's not a gamble I would make, but I do not think he'll be on the board long. I think a lot of teams in that 7-12, 7-15, depending on what kind of assets they have, Klingon is a guy that they're trying to move up for.
And what do you think about the player? Obviously not a shooter that's going to stretch the floor, but a tremendous defender, good hands. How do you see Klingon fitting in at the next level?
So bigs generally take a long time to develop. Coming out of college, you're usually a couple years away from being highly impactful on the NBA floor. But I think Klingon, even though he's only 20, 20 and a half years old, physically, he's ready to go be on an NBA floor tomorrow, which I think is unique. He's already built. You know, he has a lot of muscle on his body, moves pretty well, physically and mentally tough. He checks a lot of boxes. And even though he didn't shoot a ton in college, with the game continuing to, you know, be more important on the perimeter, his flashes of shooting, especially the touch, whether it's in practice or drills, I think a lot of teams buy that as well. And all those combined together in a non-superstar heavy draft, you look at a guy who maybe ends up being a 10 or 12 year starter, you know, that's why people want to go up and get him.
I should start there. Derek Murray joining us with the scouting service. But we've heard so much about the draft and it just being a breadth of talent. You've been scouting this for a long time. Is it a bad draft?
You know, I don't want to call it bad. That being said, like, there's just no bona fide superstar or superstars at the top. I think there's a lot of players that will be starters for many, many years. You'll have multi-year career guys, you know, maybe an all-star or two to come out of this. But there's just nobody that this early pre-draft you can put your stamp on and say, all right, this is the one. These are the ones we're going to bank on. So a lot of executives are not thrilled with the second round. I think some of that has to do with the NIL landscape of college basketball. You know, financially, there are incentives for older players to return to college and make a lot of money. You know, as we all saw Coleman Hawkins go get that huge deal, you know, maybe 2 weeks ago. So you have someone like Coleman Hawkins who in this draft might be a 25 to 35 type kid who now is just not there anymore, not even an option. And you're seeing that happen over and over and over. It really weakens the second round. I think that's the feeling that most people have.
So right now, minus 500 at DraftKings that Richiche, the kid from France, goes one overall to the Hawks. I haven't really heard much as far as good is being talked about when it comes to Richiche, the player. What do you think about the player?
A lot of theoretical and somewhat realistic and already discovered upside. So he's big, he's long, he moves very well. So you know, physical movements, movement skills, something that's very important when you try to project a teenager into the NBA. And he checks every single one of those boxes. Handles can be loose at times, but they've been tight enough to where you buy them. The shot's been kind of erratic, but he's hit enough to where you buy it. So you have the physical giftedness that he has just naturally. Plus, even with some issues, he's played at a high level, started some playoff games overseas, or started some important games overseas. I think there's just enough that those combined with the fact that I just don't think Sarr wants to be in Atlanta. I think we've all kind of seen those reports come out over the last week or so. I think that's what pushes Richiche to number one.
Yes, yeah, Sarr is a big favorite to go to the Wizards. Tell us about the player. Obviously, the Frenchman by way of now Australia. What's up with Alexander Sarr?
Extremely talented, extremely gifted. There's a reason that Overtime Elite went out and got him as a youngster. So he had some issues at Overtime, just not being, I mean, the fine tuning, the motor skills just weren't quite ready yet for that stage. He goes to Australia and really performs at a high level. Physically, he grew into his body. He filled out. A lot of weight was put on him, and all of it was good. So I think you look at a skilled big man who maybe is probably more, maybe other than Klingon, probably would be the quickest big to come in and give meaningful minutes to a franchise in the NBA. The skill, his ability to play inside and out, the more modern, quote, you know, modern big, if you want to call him that, that's the draw there at number two.
If you're making the pick, Reed Sheppard and Stephon Castle, two players we know here from college, both have specialties. Obviously, Reed the shooter, Stephon the defender. Which way would you go? Do you like both players?
I do. I like them both. I thought that Sheppard was severely underrated in high school because he doesn't look the part. You know, he walks past you. He's pretty unassuming. Unassuming, quiet kid. The competitiveness, the work ethic is not something that's boisterous in any way. So I understand why a lot of people overlooked him out of high school. I would take Sheppard. I think his hands defensively, not to say Castle's not a good defender, because he can be, but I think the two-way versatility of Sheppard really, really shined this year at Kentucky. All the steals, the threes, now he's not going to be a 50% three-point shooter in the NBA like he was in college. That's just not sustainable. But the fact that you can do that with the way the game's being played, that's why I would take him. Shooting is a difference maker in the league nowadays. You hit shots, you win games. I think his ability to do that at a high level is what separates him for me, even though they're both going to be pretty good defenders.
I want to ask you about Mountain Connect because, and again, we're talking to Derek Murray, the scouting service. Obviously a little bit older, but just was a score at every level at Tennessee last year. Do you like the player Connect?
I do, as long as you know that there are going to be streaks where you're pretty frustrated. Again, doesn't make him a bad player, bad prospect. A lot of these guys are streaky at times. But there are moments where, man, he can miss a lot of shots in a row. Or sometimes he can make decisions with the ball in his hand where you go, man, that was a little bit too aggressive. You know, that window wasn't there. Let's try to make the smarter, maybe the more basic read next time. But I'd rather that be your issue than a lack of competitiveness or a lack of wanting to fit that ball in that tight window. I'd rather you take maybe a reckless shot every once in a while with reckless confidence than you not be a confident shooter, because I can work with one of those. So Kinect's ability to do it at a smaller school, bounce up to Tennessee, do it again. I think he's well earned himself into this mock draft position he's in. I think 6-7 is probably where he'll end up tonight.
Derek, give me a player that we're sleeping on. Give me a player that you like that maybe hasn't been discussed as much as he should be.
Yeah, I really like Bub Carrington out of Pittsburgh. Bub was a guy who was probably ranked anywhere between 50 and 75 most of the times during the year in high school. I saw him at an event in New York, I think two years ago in December. I remember sitting baseline texting some of the guys I work with. I said, look, Carrington might be a pro. I said, I don't know if that makes me crazy. I'm not going to put this out there publicly saying this kid ranked 77th as a professional, but like internally I see it. He's a very violent mover as a teenager, which is very difficult to do. The birthday is real. You know, a lot of times you get these physically developed kids and it turns out they're way older than we think they are, that they tell people they are. Like, he's a very, very young player, moves very well, highly competitive, has the mental wiring you would want in a guard at the next level. So I think he's probably 2 years away from contributing. But long term, Carrington is a guy that personally I would probably take higher than he'll go tonight.
It's a great name. Remove the last name James. Is Bronny James an NBA player?
Long term, I think so, yes. Long term. The shooting is real. I think the media, I'll say the media as a whole, not anyone in particular, any you know, outlet or social media pusher in particular, you start calling him 6'4", 6'5", all the time. You know, for us who saw him up close in high school, he never was that. So you put some expectations were put on him, both physically, projection-wise, as what does he do in college? Does he start in college? What can he shoot? A lot of people just projected a lot of things on him, no fault of his own. And I think that's why some of the expectations people were upset about when he didn't reach them. So I do think he's an NBA player. I think it will take some time. The speed of the game will be what he has to adjust to. Physically, he'll be okay. Strong, quick, like built kid. The speed of the game sometimes at USC just was very, very fast. I think some time in the G League could be good. And then ultimately, yes, I do think he ends up in the NBA.
Tremendous. Derek Murray, Derek _ Murray on Twitter. The Scouting Service is a company used by NBA and NCAA teams to evaluate talent. Derek, that was awesome. Enjoy the draft tonight. Thank you for your time.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me.
Okay, buddy. Thank you very much. Progressive Guest Line brought you Derek Murray. When we come back, we'll jump into Major League Baseball, and then Mike Somich joins.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, VSiN.com, best bets, betting splits. Somich is always writing articles, which you can find over there as well. Odds by Your Stay betting tools and the betting guides. The betting guide in particular, remember, coming out tomorrow, the NFL betting guide. And it's a big day on the program tomorrow. So check it out, VSiN.com. We got you back. Sharp Money, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick. You know what? Mike Somich joining us on a Wednesday. We appreciate that. I probably lay a run and a half, and I know you guys do it much more than I, five times over a baseball season. I just hate doing it. Ever since I started, my mentor said, don't lay a run and a half. He had some numbers at the time. They've all adjusted. I'm not going to go there. I'm just against it. However, I got one for you boys. I'm thinking about laying the run and a half tonight in Baltimore. Carrasco stinks. And Rodriguez, you're going to lay about $1.10, maybe $1.12 on laying a run and a half with the Orioles. But come on, baseball boys. What do you think? Somich, we'll start with you.
Let me look at the other prices you can get in the game. So I hate laying a run and a half with the home team. That's just a thing for me, just because I never want to do it because of the fact that you lose those late at-bats. First five innings, let's see. Baltimore minus a half run, minus 160. That's not great. Yeah, I mean, let's check our favorite new bet here. Game scores. Let's see what the bottom bet in the bottom of the ninth. I would go bat in the bottom of the ninth. No, -165. That's okay. Where I would take the 60-cent juice off that and play it that way. Or perfect. You could lock in the way I'm playing the game, Patrick.
I know. I was walking right into it. I know you got to play on this one. Let's go.
Give me Orioles. First team to score -125. Carrasco's given up one in the bottom half of the first, right? So we just got to get through that first half of the first with a zero and Rodriguez on the mound. This is just a matchup where you're getting a much better number because the team you're betting is at home. So you're always going to be betting second in each inning. That makes it harder to score the first run because if that road team is able to score in the top half, you don't get to bat in the bottom half, you lose your bet. But this is one of those situations where if you're trying to find ways to creatively bet a lower juiced amount versus like the -225 for the Orioles here. To me, betting Baltimore to score the first run, -125, a good way to look at that. You could also bet Baltimore to score in the first inning as well. But I like the first run here because I do think Rodriguez has a chance to shut this Cleveland offense down for multiple innings as well, giving Baltimore more chances to get that first run.
Creative. I like that. O's first run scored -125. Big guy, your take on all of it.
Oh, the Orioles are going to mash Carrasco. Just going to absolutely decimate him. He just pitches to too much contact. Like, he used to be a strikeout guy a few years ago. He's just not that guy anymore. He's been through a lot. But they're trotting him out there every fifth day. And he's really, I mean, he's barely a rotation piece on a team that is expected to go to the playoffs. Orioles kill right-handed pitching. They're awesome against lefties, too. It's just a great, deep offense. There's no easy outs for Carrasco to work with here. I like the game over. I just expect there to be a lot of runs, and it wouldn't shock me if the Baltimore Orioles cover like 7 or 8 of those 8.5 runs.
Well, let me ask you, are they sitting what? Can one of you look for me Orioles team total 4.5, like -150, somewhere in that range? Is that what it is? I hate betting. I hate betting home teams on the team total, to Mike's point.
4.5 -140.
Yeah, team, see, I knew it was going to be heavily juiced.
First five, you can get 2.5 -140. I would take that over full game. First three, you can get 1.5 -115 on the over.
Okay. Really? I like the way we talk this through. So run scored. Big guy, you went over.
For the game.
I'll tell you where it is.
And most of that handicap is Baltimore.
Now.
Yeah.
All right.
Most of that handicap is Baltimore.
Okay. Fair enough. Next one up, Mike Somich. Red Sox first five over 2.5 -120.
Yeah, we're looking for some runs. You got Rodriguez on the mound for the Blue Jays here. He's got a 5.94 ERA, a 1.9 plus whip, so not very good at all. It's 81, sunny, and the ball will be flying in Boston today. So like the Red Sox offense taking on a Blue Jays pitcher, I think they're going to beat up pretty easily here. So we're going first five team total over 2.5 -120 here with the Red Sox.
All right, big guy, you got to take on that one?
Well, I like that because I was thinking about laying the half run with Boston today. I laid off Cutter Crawford. I feel like I'm always wrong on him. He has moments where he's awesome, and then I don't have him, and then I do bet him, and he lets me down. The thing about Mike's bet that I love, it's fading Rodriguez. Rodriguez, his last three outings, has thrown 9 innings, and he's allowed 9 runs in those 9 innings. So he's getting mashed. He doesn't pitch a ton. He doesn't go deep into games. Don't look now, but the Boston Red Sox could be a postseason team.
Yeah, they're somehow frisky.
You know what they have to do when I've watched Boston? First off, Cutter Crawford's good. But secondly, when I've watched them, if they're running, they're awesome.
Yeah.
But if they're stagnant, they're terrible. Like, they just have to go. They've got some speed. That is a team that could be next year very good.
It's not a horrible roster. It's really not a bad roster. There are a lot of really good winning pieces there. It's just they need like a couple things to tighten it up.
There are holes all over the place. Like, you looked at the roster during the preseason, you're like, this is not great. But now, once we've seen it play out a little bit here, you've seen different pieces of this Boston team be able to come together. Like Patrick mentioned, when they are on the move, when they're running, when they're putting pressure on defenses, they seem to be a good baseball team on that side. The pitching's been a little bit shaky, but now here we are sitting 43-37, almost halfway into the season. Like, it's a Boston team that's played a lot better. And if they can make a couple moves at the deadline and then figure it out in the summer, they could be very good next year.
Yeah, they've overachieved for sure. Your final baseball bet, We were talking about this one earlier. Big guy had Gavin Stone on one of his three ups, the youngster there with the Dodgers. Fetty's been good too, but you're going to lay the run and a half with the Dodgers.
Yeah, I'm going to take the buzzsaw here. Look, the Dodgers, I thought this one should be closer to minus 135 for the minus one and a half. They're minus 180 favorites right now. You can get the Dodgers minus 110 laying the run and a half in Chicago. As few teams that I will lay the one and a half with, I try and avoid it when I can, but this is a spot where the Dodgers in this offense, I'm willing to lay the run and a half, especially against a bad bullpen from the White Sox. So even if Fetty can get through five or six innings here, I'm going to still get multiple innings with the bullpen. I'm laying the one and a half on the road, so I will get to bat in the bottom of the top of the ninth, even if we do have a lead. And this Dodgers offense is just phenomenal. So I'll take the Dodgers minus the run and a half, minus 110 today.
It's a good job by you. I actually saw him at one book, but like a $1.58 on the money line earlier, the Dodgers. That's not a crazy price. It's straight up.
No, that it is a crazy price. It's a crazy that they would be that short. That's yep. What's crazy. By the way, a little appreciation for Shohei Ohtani. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of him. First Dodgers player with an RBI in 9 straight games. He has 7 homers in his last 9 games.
He's pretty good.
Or not 7 homers last 9, 9 homers last 15. That's crazy.
He's freaking unbelievable. And so are the Dodgers. So they're in Chicago. Lay a run and a half, $1.05. Dude, I'm looking at a book right now that has the Dodgers $1.55. And I
can bet. Wild.
Is that tomorrow's game? It's today? Like
today.
What is going on? I don't understand that line.
Shh. Be quiet. These things move quickly with influencers like us. Big guy, do you have a three-teamer with your little pitching prop there?
I do, actually. So we're going to use Eric Fetty, who we just mentioned, right? We are going to use Cookie Carrasco. Let me pull up the – and I can't get the last leg up. Hang on.
Donk.
Fetty, Cookie Carrasco, and Sean Manaea. It's a very short slate, but I do think the Yankees get to Manaea. If the Mets win that game, I don't think he's the pitcher of record. There's a chance he may not go 5 innings and qualify. And that's my point with this bet. There's just so much that has to go right for these guys to record a win and be the pitcher of record. They have to pitch 5 innings. They have to leave the game with the lead, and the bullpen has to hold the lead.
Did you guys were going back and forth on text, and I kind of zoned out. Samich, do you like his three-teamers with the no wins?
I think it's interesting. I was trying to find other ways to bet it and get a better number on it. But he is right. The protection of the no win is a big part of it. Like, even if you're playing the unders, outs, things like that, and trying to get the price jacked up to 4-1, 5-1 in some of these parlays, it's that the protection, the fact that they have to be leading and then they have to hold on to that lead for the entire rest of the game is massive, because every one of these pitchers that Dustin's targeting, it's unlikely they leave the game with their team up 4 or 5 runs. If they do leave the game, they are most likely up 1 run, maybe 2 runs, right? And then you have the better offense on the other side that still has the opportunity to come back and make that a pitcher that doesn't get a win or a loss in that spot. So I think it's interesting, especially if you keep getting those low plus money ones, plus 105, plus 115, whatever it is, for 3 pitchers who are very unlikely to record a win.
Big. That's a big day for me. It's not a complete cosign. It's like a 75% cosign from Samich, but I take that as a win.
It was half a well, actually. It wasn't a full one.
I can't well actually it. I can't come up with a better way to bet it, so it's hard to well actually. That's the thing. If you like the bet, it's the best way to do it, so that's a good thing.
Outs recorded is tough just because it's always right at a number where you're like, I think that's right about where he's going to be.
We haven't talked to our buddy, part of the family, Mike Samich, since our Florida Panthers. There's Mount Rushmore. Won the Stanley Cup. We'll come back and get his reaction next here, Sharp Money.